Welcome to Austin on the Air, candid conversations about air filtration and air quality and the impact it has on children and adults at school, work, and home. So we're here today with Mark and Rochelle Kibbe, realtors with Keller Williams Realty. And just a little backstory for our listeners. I've known you guys for quite a while. You've been our go-to realtors. We've moved around a lot, and we wouldn't have had anybody else. So I'm so happy that you guys are joining us today, because I know that I trust your expertise. I've seen it in action, and so I'm really happy to talk about one of the questions and one of the topics that come up in our industry a lot, and that is the topic of mold. For our listeners, we're putting together a mold toolkit currently. And so this will be a podcast that's part of that series. And mold seems to be one of those topics that people know exist, but there's so much confusion around it. I mean, from a health impact standpoint, but also, you know, how to test for it. And what we're finding is even the buying and selling of homes, like what that looks like and what, you know, the regulations say. So I'm super happy that you guys are joining us today. If you want, maybe we could start with a little bit of background information, if you guys want to tell us a little bit about, you know, your history and
Great.
Your experience.
Well, thank you, Stacey, for allowing us to be here. This is exciting, and we definitely have enjoyed our history working with you. Absolutely. So, again, my name is Mark Kibbe with Keller Williams Realty, and you know that. But I've got a long, crazy background. So I used to lobby Congress in Washington. I call myself a recovering attorney. I'm licensed in Pennsylvania and Florida, but don't practice. We do real estate full time. We want to really devote ourselves to that. I almost became a real estate agent in Florida when I practiced down there. And I said, you know what? I can't do it full time, so I'm not going to do it. So we love doing it. We work together and have a lot of fun with that. So, you know, we've been with Keller Williams about 13 years now. Again, wear a lot of hats. I'm very involved with the Pennsylvania Association of Realtors. I'm vice chair of our legislative committee. So a lot of these issues we're going to talk about today, I'm involved with at the state level and in developing policy and developing legislation. So this is timely.
Perfect. Yeah, that's what I was hoping you were going to say.
Awesome.
I knew with your background, hopefully we can get into the nitty-gritty of this. Rochelle, if you want.
Well, actually, we've been realtors for 13 years. We've only been with Keller Williams for about four now.
True.
Okay. We were with another company before that. Sorry, just wanted to clear that up, Mark. My background is a computer science person. I got my degree locally here in Erie, BS in computer science, so I really like the tech kind of stuff. I also enjoy doing home staging. Pictures, that kind of stuff. So home videos, touring, that, I do a lot of more of the background things, the computer stuff. Mark does a lot of the negotiations, the contracts, that kind of thing. So
between the two of us, two halves make a whole. So
yes.
It works.
Yeah, we're good. We work well together. Yeah. We're a good team. Yeah.
Well, that's what I always. I mean, in anything we've ever done with you guys, it's like, oh, we're getting two for the price of one.
Absolutely.
We get the yep. Duo. So maybe we'll, jump right into, the topic of mold. And I wanted to share some statistics, you know, that I found. 45 million buildings, apparently, in the United States have unhealthy levels of mold. That's from Moldy Magazine 2017 issue. And around 70% of homes, they say, have mold. So, I mean, that's kind of a big issue. Now, granted, not all mold is toxic. Not all mold is, covering everything in the house. I mean, there's mold everywhere, outside, inside. But that kind of struck me like, hey, that's a big deal. And we see that in our industry that there's, you know, a lot of different people. Just from an air purification standpoint, they're looking for air purification because they got a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and so maybe if you want to just talk to me a little bit about, you know, any experience that you guys have. Do you see that being? I mean, that statistic, 70%. Do you guys resonate with that? Or I mean,
absolutely. I mean, I don't know about the statistics, but certainly it's been very prevalent in our you know, history and real estate. I mean, we go in and homes, and that's one of the things among many that we look for, signs. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, though, and we'll get into it, I'm sure, yeah. later, but sellers have a duty to disclose what they know about these issues and things like that. And we'll talk about differences among the states. But yeah. At the end of the day, it's really kind of buyer beware in a way, okay. Due diligence. And that's kind of why it's helpful to have somebody with some experience helping you along the way. You know,
yeah.
Try to think of ourselves as able to do that because we've been in so many homes and seen so many instances. We've had everything from, you know, the classic mold on the caulking in your shower. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, sometimes people will, you know, panic about that. But if you think about that, even that one little, what appears to be a minimal issue, mm-hmm. that water could be seeping in behind that caulking, yeah. down through the walls, yeah. et cetera. And then we've had other instances where a big one you have to worry about are attics. So okay. if you have a bathroom where the fan is venting directly into the attic, that humid air from the shower is venting directly into the attic, but it's not venting out of the roof, that moisture accumulates, and that's a big source of, okay. of mold. And when you're taking people through a house on showings, you know, you don't usually get to go into the attic.
Right.
So, sure. again, you can see what you can see on that first initial look at the house, but you then want to think, well, what do I need to do to maybe go further,
right.
you know, and that's when, you know, do inspections and inspection contingencies.
Right.
And another thing we like to look for also is fresh paint on the basement walls.
Yeah.
We had one instance a few years ago where nice little home, the basement was all fresh and clean and freshly painted. And they did have an inspector come in. It wasn't specifically a mold inspector. It was a home inspector. Mm-hmm. And they gave it a clean bill of health. Within 6 months, those walls were black. The mold had come back through that coating of paint, and the buyers were panicked, and we felt, you know, really bad about that. And you know, there are things you can do.
Yeah.
You know, being that recovering attorney that I am, you know, everybody says, "Well, we could sue them." Well, yes, but lawsuits cost a lot of money.
Right.
So if we can, you know, cut these problems off at the pass in the beginning, that's definitely the way to go. But it's tough sometimes.
And I think, too, it's, you know, it is probably different for different people. I mean, as far as, you know, we hear a lot of the sick building syndrome, you know, people who are very sensitive to biotoxins and stuff that are in the home. And then there's people who aren't affected at all. I mean, a few years ago, I had no idea the impact of mold until we were exposed to mold. And I, you know, and then our family, I started looking into it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we don't detox mold. Oh my gosh, this is affecting us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so how do you guys see a lot of, I guess, different types of people on both ends of the spectrum, maybe that are, they know that they are, I guess, sensitive to these types of things, or people who just are very sensitive to smells, like, oh, I, you know, we're touring this house and this kind of smells a little funny, or I'm getting a headache, or... You know, do you see a lot of people that register right away?
I would say no. I mean,
no.
We have a lot of people that are sensitive to smells, but they're not. They don't identify that they're sensitive to mold.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
I myself, you know, I'm sensitive to certain smells, and certain smells can cover up issues like mold. For instance, you know, you could have a heavy smoker in a house. So mm-hmm. that heavy smoke is covering up that smell of mold or mildew, right? So it's not even just pretty candles that are covering up the smell. It could be pet dander, pet odors that are covering that up. So
that brings up a good point, the scented candles. We've seen a lot of houses over the years where you walk in and there's like a candle lit in every room, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Red flag.
What's going on underneath this?
Yeah. Yeah, when we list homes, we always try to, they always say, should we put lots of scent candles or, you know, plug-ins in the wall? I said, well, not necessarily, you know, let's.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that does raise flags. What are you trying to cover up?
Yeah.
Right. And some of those, you know, some of the plug-in air fresheners and stuff, they do emit formaldehyde and different, you know, chemicals and stuff. So then you have somebody that's walking through the house and it's kind of like, oh, this is, it's a very negative experience because they have that chemical sensitivity that I don't.
Right.
No, maybe even realize they have.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe
If we could maybe talk a little bit about the laws and regulations, we'll get into that. You know, maybe just walk me through, you know, what are the laws for selling a home that maybe had a previous mold problem?
Sure.
I just want to make sure that you understand that we are legally able to talk about Pennsylvania
right.
laws.
Right, all right. Yes, good point.
And federal law basically doesn't even cover mold at all.
Not really.
The federal law covers lead-based paint.
Okay.
And there's strict guidelines with regard to that, but not mold.
Okay.
So we have dug in a little bit to check out some New York laws and some Ohio laws, but specifically we're only really allowed to talk about Pennsylvania. So
okay.
So in my role as vice chair of the Pennsylvania Legislative Committee, we do look at other states, obviously, to see
what they're
doing.
Right.
Right.
And how, if does it make sense, does it not make sense? Mm-hmm. So yeah, as Rochelle said, we're licensed in Pennsylvania as real estate agents, so we don't really focus
work
a lot on those other states. But we do have a little bit of knowledge of New York and Ohio since they're our neighbors.
Right.
Anybody that sells their home, whether they're represented by a licensed real estate agent or not, they are supposed to, per law, Pennsylvania law, provide a seller's disclosure, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 11 pages, and you walk through, and you basically, the seller tells everything they know about the house, to the extent they know. They don't have to do specific tests and studies and things like that to come up with information they don't already know or aware of. But they, you know, get that, they fill that out, and it has one of the areas, and it's a relatively new addition to our disclosure. It does talk about mold. It talks about hazards, and I back up a little bit. They're obligated to disclose, quote unquote, material defects, and the presence of hazardous substances is a material defect.
Okay.
And mold kind of falls under that category, again, to the extent they know. And right now we're talking about residential, selling of residential homes, not necessarily investment properties. We can get to, or commercial, we get to that in a second. But they're going to walk through and they know it. But we find, again, kind of getting back to a point I made earlier, a lot of times these folks don't really realize they have an issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if there is mold in the attic, most people don't go up in their attic all that much.
Right.
So it
right.
could be developing and they don't even know it. We have a client out in Fairview, beautiful homes, going to be a $3.25 million home. They accidentally discovered they were getting a mold problem in their attic, and he was so concerned. I mean, he brought in multiple companies and experts. He annually tests the air, even though it's been remediated and fixed, quote unquote. He tests the air every year because he just worries about it coming back. So, kind of back to your point, some people are super concerned. And then there's some people, mold, that's no big deal. Same with radon. Some people think that's a government conspiracy. I mean, so it just kind of runs the gamut of what we deal with folks.
Yeah.
So you're obligated to disclose what you know.
Right, right.
Yep.
So it does have to be listed. And if a buyer suspects that there's a problem, what information can they ask the seller to provide if it's not disclosed, or can they not? Is that not?
No, they can certainly ask questions, and we certainly encourage our buyer clients to ask questions. But again, that seller may or may not know the answers, or you don't like to think this, but then there's always those instances where they might be trying to cover up something.
Okay.
So it kind of gets back to, it's really on you, the buyer, to do your due diligence, and if you do have a very strong concern about mold and air quality, make that, when you make an offer, you can elect to do inspections and make your offer contingent upon those inspections.
So and you can ask for the testing.
Right. You could say, in addition to a regular home inspection, I'd like to have a mold company come in and test the air, and you can make your offer contingent on that.
Okay.
Now, again, the seller may or may not accept your offer with all those contingencies, but if that's a major concern, you should seriously consider doing it.
Do you see that being written into these occasionally, or is it
It's evolving. I mean, I think right now most buyers are relying just on the traditional home inspector to go in, and they do look for mold. I mean, they will go in the attic, they will go in the basement, they'll look behind different things, but they're certainly not going to rip apart the walls.
Right.
And they can only go so far.
Sure. And then what's the difference between mold and mildew?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So sometimes
mildew
is
not harmful.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't fully understand the technical nature of it, but I know that there are some home inspectors now that have these infrared cameras that can actually look into the wall.
For moisture.
And for moisture and, you know, heat and things. So I think that then will give you an added idea that maybe there's an issue.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, do you think, like, for example, you know, the house that we're in currently, it took us almost 3 years to find it because it was not in any water damaged place. Yeah. It was not, you know, if we weren't so, I guess, you know, sensitive to it, the people in my house, we would have never probably even gone looking for it. But it was a functional medicine doctor who said, "You've got mold toxicity." And I was like, "What?" Where's the, there's no, you know, and we had somebody come, we went through all the inspections we did. I mean, and it was 3 years later. How do you, do you see it a lot, or is there things in place for, I think you touched on a little bit, like after the fact, maybe it's the home warranty, or do home warranties even cover mold? I mean, because even our insurance, it wasn't under the insurance because it was the previous owner. And ours was actually, there was tons and tons of moldy beer cans and garbage that was put purposely up in the drop ceiling. So who's looking for that?
Who would ever go looking in
a drop ceiling that's got full doors and windows that's moisture? You know what I mean? So how do you, I mean, is there anything that protects people, I guess, even just in a short inner rim? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's tough because, as you said, sometimes you don't discover these things for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even in the, well, lawsuits, I mean, you know, and again, don't like to go down that road, but there are statute of limitations, usually a 2-year statute of limitation to discover some of this stuff.
From the date of closing.
Yeah.
2 years out. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Even that avenue is limited.
Because really, the person that sold the home probably didn't know that it was there, or maybe they did. Like, you know,
right.
I mean, and then how does that even...
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of it's innocent. I mean, a lot of sellers just don't know.
Yeah, it's such a not...
Yeah, but we're getting more sophisticated. I mean, a lot of it is discovered through air quality testing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting to see a little bit of that being done. You know, and that might be the only way to catch some of that hidden mold.
Mm-hmm. I would say.
You know, we talked a little bit about other states. I know that New York just recently put together a new legislation that's going to... that's going into effect June of this year.
Okay.
Which basically says that sellers have the obligation to give the history of the mold in that of the house. Actually, it's the mold history of the house.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting and something new.
Yeah. So they would have to actually do some due diligence and look.
The sellers themselves, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And consider what potentially could have been.
And report anything that was done maybe by previous sellers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so again, yeah, it's a rapidly evolving issue. We're seeing it's for such a long time, it was kind of dormant. But now, over the last couple of years, we've just seen a real recognition of the seriousness of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the statistics, you know, it says 1 in 5 people have a mold allergy. And I know there's a substantial amount of people who have genetic mutations that they don't detox these biotoxins like mycotoxins and mold spores. So it becomes even more problematic to them. There's more and more every year you hear about people with multiple chemical sensitivities. And so I think as people become more sensitive to these things, generation after generation, it's kind of in response to, you know, what people need. And that's just kind of a side note. Do you find people... sensitive to like the chemicals from new floors and stuff,
like the rugs,
like the smells from vinyl and carpet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Smells a huge deal when you're buying and selling a house.
Yeah.
I'll tell you,
it really is.
Many times we take buyers, open the front door, whatever the smell is comes out, and they say, you know, we're not going to go in. We shut the door.
All done.
We're done. So that can be huge. But obviously in basements, you know, you smell the mildew or whatever, and there are those signs. But it's just so hard sometimes to nail it down. What the actual thing is that we think is there.
And sometimes I think there's a misconception too, like. some people might look for, and maybe you can add to this, you know, I don't want anything that's old because, you know, I am very terrified of the potential mold or whatever, but actually the newer homes that are being built so airtight have less ventilation. And even, I mean, we just did a podcast with somebody recently who, brand new home, first day in, full of mold because of the way it was constructed.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. That is huge. That's been even before mold. But yeah, the new construction, you know, the energy efficiency, and they're trying to make them so tight.
The curing of the cement and the moisture that's occurring down there, and it's coming up through the home. Yeah, that's a big problem.
But yeah, that's so. Yeah, the new home is not a panacea for sure.
Right.
You know, it's not a cure-all.
Do you find that, though? Do you find people that are like, I don't know, they're hesitant to even look at an older home?
Oh, absolutely. For a lot of reasons, from energy efficiency to mold issues to whatever, or just they like the fancy new stuff. You know, it comes right down to that. But there's no perfect answer for sure.
Yeah, could be either. Really, I mean, I guess that's the sad part about it is the misconception is that it's older, but not always.
Yeah, because obviously they're being built and the rain's coming down while they're being built. The rain doesn't shut off until the house is all done.
Right.
You've got a lot of that too. And then as you have that wet wood possibly and you're just sealing it all up. Absolutely.
Are you able to speak to that process of when, how that difference from, you know, a seller who's lived in the home and their seller's disclosure versus somebody who's, you know, built a
new
bunch
construction.
Of new, like what they have to disclose or what they are obligated to do.
Yeah, they, so there is no real law particularly. I mean, they have to disclose, the builder is going to prepare a seller's disclosure as well. But obviously they've never lived there, so they can only say, disclose what they may know from the building process, which isn't going to be much.
Right.
And then most times there's a 1-year home warranty that they provide. But again, a lot of these things definitely appear beyond a year. So
we had a 8 days of straight rain when we were,
disclosed. I mean, and you know, if I was buying a new home construction, I'm just going to assume that that was the case at some point.
Especially here.
Yeah. At some point it got doused. It's, again, you're kind of almost back to an existing construction. If you want, you know, you get some monitors in there to check the air. But again, it may not appear right away. And you've already now owned the house.
Right.
And you're in your situation. Yep. Now you're trying to fix something that you're stuck with.
Yeah. Yep, and then it's like chasing a ghost a lot of times because you're, you know, it's there and it's not visible. And you're like, how far do we go with this?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
And even lawsuits, if you wanted to do that, you still have to prove that they actually knew of the problem.
Right, and I don't think, I mean.
In a lot of cases, they really didn't.
Right, yeah. What about renting landlords and, you know, is it the same? Or are there different regulations?
It's definitely different. With respect to landlord-tenant relationship, when they're leasing or renting the property, they really have no duty to disclose anything except lead-based paint. That's the one thing that's federally required that they disclose if they are aware of any lead-based paint. But mold, any of those things, they don't have to disclose, which is a little concerning. Now, if they go to sell the property, then they're in
then
the
they
same
to.
Duty as
right.
anybody selling a property. But yeah, when you're leasing it, it's.
What about much. if you are a renter,
mm-hmm.
And there is a visible mold problem, you make it known to the landlord. Do they have to follow? I mean, in our industry, we're looking for there's mycotoxins. There's a proper way to remediate. It's not just putting carpet
spray some
over
bleach
my
down.
Right. and making sure that if the boards are warped that those joists are replaced and, you know, going the whole nine yards to make sure it's properly remediated. How do you, if you're a renter, ensure that the landlord is gonna remediate properly, or is there nothing that
there's not a lot they can do. The one thing that sometimes, and it's it's kind of, I don't know if it's in the statute per se, but it's something that's allowed in Pennsylvania. If I'm a tenant and I sense a problem and I go to my landlord and in this case, say there's a mold problem and they don't do anything, I can then withhold my rent as a means to try to force them to do that. Or alternatively, I can go and proceed to repair the issue and then offset either my rent or my security deposit or whatever against that. There's always a risk there that you could get kicked out in the meantime.
Right.
But they do have that option. It's not, you know, again, some of these repairs, as you know, can be pricey. And your rent may certainly not cover all that.
But they are obligated or liable, I mean, if there is a known visible problem to...
If they're made aware of a specific problem, they really do, the landlord does have a duty to correct it.
Maybe a tenant, if they wanted to do their own air testing or tape test or something, they could provide those results to the landlord.
Right.
And then they would be obligated.
Yes, in theory, it's just tough to get them to actually act. And act in the right way.
Right.
Sometimes they always want to take the shortcut.
Right.
It's like when you're buying a house and you do your inspection and you ask them to fix certain things, they're going to do it the most cost-efficient way.
Yes, exactly.
Not the right, may not be the right way.
What are some things that people, if they're looking to rent, can ask of a landlord, a potential landlord, if they're in that process? Can they, is it the same as with a buyer? I mean, because you're not doing an inspection, you can't work in the air quality test to an inspection when you purchase, but if you're looking to rent, can you ask for something like that? Are they at all obligated or no?
You can ask. I think you kind of get back into that same situation. Are they actually aware of the problem? Or not? It's the market we've had has been so aggressive, and the market for investment properties is so robust that we have a lot of new landlords, that people that have never done this before, and they really, I want to say, they don't really know what they're doing. And so there's a lot of things that are getting left undone that should be done that maybe more experienced landlords would do. They just kind of looking for the quick income, and forget that you have to actually take care of the property as well as collect the rent. It's challenging.
Well, is there anything else that we didn't talk about? I mean, we covered a lot here today. I'm so happy that you guys were able to come on, because this is something that, I mean, my gosh, we hear all the time. You know, what are my rights? What can I do? How do I navigate this problem? Is there anything that you can think of that you guys experience that is probably important for listeners that we didn't talk about?
Well, Rochelle can be thinking of that, but I'm thinking, just reiterate one thing. Again, kind of back to the notion of, you know, you as a buyer really need to go in with your eyes open and have experts help you. You know, start with your real estate agent and then, you know, inspectors, and then possibly bring in mold remediators.
I think that's probably a good point is, first of all, getting a realtor that understands the mold. It probably isn't going to be very helpful for somebody who doesn't believe in mold to be helping you buy a house.
Just at least to, because we see so many homes and we see little things that over time we've recognized are signs of a possible issue. So, you know, that's helpful. And as a buyer, we represent buyers for free. So you can use us for free. So that's kind of neat. Sellers pay commission. So take advantage of that. But, you know, it's that what grandma used to say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So, you know, trying to fix it later once you own the house is, as you know from firsthand experience, is not an easy task. So to the extent you can identify the problem and maybe spend a couple $100 to bring in those air testing, you know, professionals. Just it might be worth it in the end.
Yeah, especially if, I mean, once you close, you close.
Right.
You know.
And again, going there are legal remedies for after the fact, but they're expensive and they're not fun, and there's no guarantee of success. You cannot sue for punitive damages in Pennsylvania. You can get your actual damages back, but okay, so I'm made whole, but
yeah.
Gosh, if I can avoid that whole process, let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I don't know anything. What did we miss, Rochelle?
No, you know, just moisture equals mold usually. So we always, especially in this area, we've got a lot of water running to the lake. So we always generally tell people it's important to have, you know, dehumidifiers in your basements to get that moisture out of the basement, you know, prevent that mildew even from starting. I'm not an expert, so I don't know, but usually I would think that mildew then can grow into mold.
Any type of moisture, that brings up a great point. If you're seeing a home and you're walking through the basement and there's not any type of dehumidifier present and you recognize that it is humid down there, potentially could be.
Right, and you know, we always usually point out, you know, downspouts, gutters on homes, you know, get that water away from your home. We just generally check the chimney area too, make sure that there's no flashing issues on the roof, you know, so those, so it doesn't, it involves a lot of areas of the home, you know, even just piping, you know, wherever water can come into the home, you know, you need to be aware of that.
And I know you guys are all aware of this, but you know, mold comes in many forms. So everybody thinks about black mold, you know, the classic, but there's white mold, there's green mold, there's all kinds of molds. And as you said, Stacey, in the beginning, not all of them are particularly bad, but then some of those are bad. And so it's not just one size fits all. That's where you really, again, bring in the experts.
I mean, we were looking when we went to the doctor and we realized, okay, this is a mold toxicity problem, then of course, like our natural, being unaware and not informed at that point, we're looking for the black mold, right? We're looking for black. And the majority of what we had in our home was white. And that is very, very difficult to see on, I mean, you pull down, you know, the dropped ceilings and you're looking at the floor joists. It's very difficult with the naked eye to see white on wood. You have to have that professional come in and look at that.
And that's one thing I always look for when we go down to the basement. I look up, because a lot of the times it's tucked up in those raft, you know, the floor joists of that white mold. So and again, so if you see those little signs, that's when you want to bring somebody in to really check. So how extensive is the problem?
But
we're continuing to learn, so it's good.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thank you for
our
maybe
pleasure.
For our listeners, if you guys want to maybe tell them how they can get a hold of you if they're looking for somebody in the area in Pennsylvania, how they might get a hold of you.
You can check our website, which is www.teamkibby.com.
Okay.
Our phone number is cell number 814-860-1509. Office phone number is 814-833-9500.
Okay, awesome.
And we also answer to smoke signals. So whatever you do, we're there.
Okay, great. Well, thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stacey.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Austin on the Air. For more information on air filtration, air quality, and respiratory health, visit austinair.com.